You're up.
Hello, saints. So I have this thought and some scriptures, and then we can talk about it. I'm gonna call it the importance of being earnest. So there's several words that are translated as earnest or earnestly. One of them that I'm trying to focus on today is translated various ways into the English. It's zealous, earnestly, desirous, affected. It's to desire earnestly, to burn with zeal, in a good sense, to be zealous in the pursuit of good. And some scripture verses that I could read would be like Galatians 4:17 and 18. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. 1 Corinthians like 12, 13, 14, in those chapters, Paul uses the word several times to basically tell us that we should earnestly seek the best gifts and the best like love and the best gifts that God can give us. In Revelation, Jesus tells us to be zealous, therefore, and repent. It's the same word, and the concept, like there's different scriptures also that tell us about having an earnest desire for the brethren, for the Lord, for everything. And it's kind of the contrast that stands between us being rather lukewarm, or a better word might even be casual or comfortable, versus us being earnest and zealous in the faith at all times. When we're lukewarm, we're somebody who kind of doesn't, is neither here nor there. They're just kind of coasting along in their faith. Somebody who is casual might be striving in a few things, but perhaps they just might have left their first love and zeal. Or they might be somebody who kind of takes the word of God lightly, or things like that. They don't have the fear and the trembling before God. They're more casual. Whereas if we are earnest, and the importance of earnest is such as that it never lets us let our guard down. Jesus said in Mark, I'm gonna go look up the verse to find it, but he basically tells the disciples to watch always, to watch and pray, to be on guard in all things, because when we're zealous and earnest, then we watch, right? Like 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, right? Or to watch, keep watch on yourself and guard yourself at all times. This is what being earnest means, as I understand it. It's to be zealous and on fire for the Lord and not lukewarm or casual. And there's tons of scripture that we could come up with, like, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. If you're a watchman on the wall, you couldn't be casual if you know there's enemies coming. Because a watchman on the wall has to be earnest and on guard and zealous in his duty to blow the trumpet and to warn others. And this is our duty before God, to watch not only in our own lives against sin, but to watch over the fellowship, and then to go out and to be the watchman on the wall to cry and call others out of sin and to warn them of the coming judgment. But in all of this, we have to be earnest in how we do it. We can't take it lightly, and we can't be casual in anything. We can't be casual in how we deal with sin. We can't be casual in how we interact with one another. We can't be casual in how we deal with the Word of God. We have to be earnest in everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Those are kind of some thoughts I had. What scriptures and thoughts do you have on it?
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. And that, while brothers are looking up some scriptures on earnest or zealousness, what makes me think about is, like, I think most people, if your phone app went off, beep, and they said, "In your town is an F5 tornado headed right for you." And if you were sitting out your yard in a lawn chair, would you be on guard? What would you do? Would you go, "Ah, it's just an F5 tornado. What's the big deal?" I think you'd be on guard, would you not, brothers?
You probably run to the basement.
You would look around and go, "Whoa, it is getting dark. They're saying an F5's coming. Warn your neighbors. Did you guys hear? Get the kids and the wife or whoever's with you. Get them. Let's get for cover." And this is physical protection and earnestness about things. If you were in the woods and a grizzly bear was following you, and you thought you lost him, until you got back to safety, would you be on your guard? Or would you go, ah, he was a quarter mile back there. Maybe he's gone. Never have to worry about it again. I think you'd be on guard until you got back to your car, your camp, or whatever, wherever you were. You'd probably be on guard the rest of the time you were in the woods, and you'd never be the same again. I've been close to those bears. It's not fun. My point is the physical earnest, zealousness, on guard, watching, that's to save your flesh. How much more should our spiritual guard be up? Because we're worshiping God that way. It's for our eternal salvation. It's also for the brethren and the sisters that we either look after or in fellowship with. How much more zeal should we have on the things that are eternal than even the physical? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and like the word earnest, like, it's just the title, but if you go in, it kind of opens up a whole stream of different thoughts that you could go to. Like, being earnest means you're going to be on guard and you're going to watch, right? Then you're not going to be like, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh at even or at midnight or in the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. That's Mark 13. That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
It's this concept that we're earnest, we're on guard, we're zealous, we're not casual, we're not, like, some people look at the word lukewarm and they kind of think, well, I'm not lukewarm, I'm still kind of serving the Lord. Well, yeah, but are you just casual? Are you comfortable? Have you left your first love? You don't even need to be lukewarm. You just need to lose your first love and zeal for your works to no longer be perfect before the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, and quite honestly, all of us, we're only going to grow and advance and mature and sanctify kind of at the rate and level we seek it at. God's not doing this by osmosis. Like, they put water in a filter and natural osmosis does the water. God is asking us to do part of it as well. Striving, repenting, leaving, watching, studying, praying. Hebrews 2:1, wherefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. This is the eternal things of God that we've got to put our earnest effort towards. And so whether it's, you know, if you're married, you got to be on guard for your marriage every single day. You do. Because you can slip up. Other people can slip you up. It can be destroyed quickly if you're not on guard. And being a parent is the same way. You can do a lot of damage by not being on guard. The brethren, looking after the brethren. If we all get sloppy and we don't look after each other and hold each other accountable, what's going to become of our fellowship? What's it going to look like? We might as well go to Sunday church. So this concept of earnest is a really, really good idea. Brothers, do you have some scripture verses to add to what Brother Zelos is saying?
I'll go ahead. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, what I want to do when we're done, when everybody's done sharing scriptures on this, think about this in the back of your mind. I want to talk about how can we be zealous and earnest for the Lord in our everyday life, and what should we be doing? And we'll talk about some ideas of what we should be doing to guard against either lukewarmness or not having the zeal, or, I think that's a great point, being casual. Being casual. We've seen it. I'll talk about it again. People that wanted to join our fellowship, you can kind of see their attitudes. I know you all see it. Were they not casual about it?
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, you meet every day and you talk to every, you text each other and message every day. Oh, well, you know, well, I know I got to look at that and see about that. I really want to serve God, but I don't know about that. They're casual. They're not serious. They're not earnest to be about God and with God's people. Brother Kuo, you got any scriptures, verses for us?
I'm not sure if you brought this one up, Mark 14:37-38. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Like being zealous also, I think Brother Tupou's kind of hit something there. People don't take God seriously, or they don't treat the word with reverence, or they're casual about it. It's like they get comfortable in the presence, not in the presence of God, but it's almost like they get comfortable dealing with the things of God. They don't have a reverent, holy fear of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And we need to guard against that, because if we're earnest, I think Torah law did a good job of teaching that if you were at all casual with the things of God, it probably cost you your life. It would. Because there's lots of examples of people who just, like, look, for example, even David, the prophet king, when the first time they brought the ark to Jerusalem, and they were kind of casual about it, and they just put it in a cart, and this one guy reached out his hand to steady it, and God killed him, and they parked the ark for a while. And the next time when they brought it back, they would offer sacrifices and pray and have the Levites there, and they did it properly with zeal and with fear. And that's kind of how we're supposed to deal with God. We don't deal with him casually. We're always earnest about it, because God doesn't take well to basically your second-hand thoughts, so to speak. You have to give him your best and your first of your flock, not the second and third and whatever you got left over.
Amen. Amen. I have another verse, Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I think that the people that have a problem with casual ways about God, I think there's only one way to describe it. If you truly are born again and you have fruit of being born again, I suppose there could be a lot of false converts. But it comes down to you're operating in the flesh. Because the Spirit of God is never casual about the things of God. Never. The Spirit will go read the book of Revelation, what it's going to be like in heaven. There ain't no casual moment up there. It's always going to be about, you know, reverencing God. It's about the Word. It's about zeal. It's about holiness. It's about righteousness. It's about justice. And so if we get casual, we've let our guard down. We've let our spiritual guard down. We're operating in the flesh. The Bible says we can't please God in the flesh. So it's a good thing to test yourself. You know, if you gather every day and you're ready, you're gathering every day and talking, don't ever let it become casual. You're bringing things to the Word of God, don't ever let it become casual. You're taking the Lord's Supper at least weekly or all the, you know, often as you want, alone or with the body, don't let it become casual. You've got to find a way in your life to let it have zeal and earnest and fervor, and it's got to be like your top priority. This isn't a job where you go, I got to go to work again on Monday. I get it. Jobs can get mundane. I get it. You even have to be careful there. Be thankful for your job. Go do the best job. Have a good attitude. Be a good witness. Look to hand out the gospel. God's got work for you there too. Not only making money, but meeting people saying, wow, you know, you got a different attitude than everybody here. Yeah, here's the gospel. That's why. I'm living for eternity. I'm not living for this world. There's nothing eternal to live for this world for. And so God's got a purpose for you. So in a job, you should have zeal, let alone the eternal things of God, if that all makes sense. You've got to find a way. James says you have not because you've asked not. And maybe it's not something that you've tested yourself about, or you've allowed yourself, or I've allowed myself to get that way. And we got to snap out of it. We got to be ask God to quicken us by the Spirit to come alive and to see things new. And see things every day. Ready? God's mercies are new every morning. That means his truth should be new to us every morning too. If it's eternal, and if it could be our last day, these things should be right. Your sword, right? Your sword. The sword of the Spirit. That thing should be clutched in your hand at all your waking hours, ready to use it. Not, I got it sitting in the corner over there. If I need it, I can get to it, I think. No, it should be with you and ready for good use. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Purgos, you got another scripture?
I was reading through 1 Thessalonians 5 the other day, and this jumped out at me, probably for this purpose. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. The place I was reading it from, it had a different translation. That word unruly is literally out of order, disorderly, slap in performance of duty.
Yeah.
So your brethren can give you a spiritual wake-up call, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:14.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a rebuke. That would be an exhortation, a correction, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Yeah. And so we got to be on guard against that. And so, Brother Kuo, any other scripture verses? I do want to talk about at the end of this. Good. Let's talk about some practical things that we can do. But do you have any other scripture verses?
The only other one that I could think of was Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So he's giving a charge to be zealous for the things of God, not just casual, well, I'll get around to doing what the Lord wants me to do, and
yeah,
I can take my time on it.
Right, no. Yeah. Yeah, not having the fervor and the zeal for it. So this is a great topic. Thanks for bringing it up, Brother Zealous. So what are some practical things that men of God, women of God, can do in their lives to be on guard against this and to foster having zeal, being earnest? What can they do in their daily life? I'm talking about each day at a time. Forget the whole year-long plan. Oh, I got a Bible. A devotional, and I'm reading one chapter or one verse a day for 365 days. Forget that long thing. I'm interested in every day. Today, then tomorrow, the next day. What can we as saints do? What are some ideas?
Push yourself every day to basically be zealous enough in the things of God to bring something that is, well, not just because you have to, but to push yourself to grow and to bring something that edify your brethren, a scripture, a thought, a question, something that basically you're studying God's word, and because you're zealous in his truth, then you have something that you're pushing yourself to edify your brethren and to help see them and to basically to be zealous every day, I guess, in the word to bring something or to learn something from God's word. It doesn't have to be a new concept. It just has to be, oh, this verse taught me something today, and I want to share it with my brethren to edify it. And you're zealous in that, and you don't slack off, and you don't take God's word casual.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't, yeah, amen. You don't let up. It's a daily thing. The Holy Spirit can use you to bring scriptures to remembrance that somebody else needs to hear that day. Yep. It might be a same old thing you know, and you go, I'm going to bring this because I feel led to bring it, and somebody goes, wow, I needed to hear that today. That's how the Holy Spirit works in a body. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Holy Spirit using us. So that's a good one. Every day, have zeal for the Word of God and be ready to not only edify your brethren, but as you're out in the world, be ready to give an answer, be ready to hand out a gospel card. Be looking to be a worker of God every single day. What else, brothers? What else could you do? I have one. Ready? Every day when you get up, you start your day. Every day when you get up, set your mind to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, really simple. But it's the great command. Say, today I'm going to love God more than anything. Because if you get up and you don't think about loving God more than anything, I question if you love God more than anything. Just common sense. If you get up thinking about coffee first before you thank God for the day and I'm ready to live for you today, you might love coffee more than God. I'm just saying, it's a good check to check and see. And so get up and love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Preach the gospel to yourself. I'm telling people all the time. You want to get zealous for the truth? You preach the gospel to yourself. You get up when you're putting your tunic or your head covering and your dress on, ladies. You get up every day and you go, you know what? My Savior came into the world and died for me and had to shed his blood for my sin, my stubborn stiff-neckedness. And I, by faith, had to come to repentance that God gave me and called me to. And he gave me his Spirit. And it's in me, guiding me, teaching me, comforting me, convicting me. And my life is filled with holiness and obedience because of what he's doing in me and my work with him. That's the blood covenant. And I'm enduring. Today I'm going to endure for the glory of God because I love God. So now you got up, you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You preach the gospel to yourself. And then right after you put your tunic, your head covering, your dress on, your robe, whatever you want to call it, did you put your armor on? Did you think about the Ephesians 6 armor that enemies are coming against you? They want to destroy you. They want to destroy our body. They want to tear you down. They want to ruin Brother Zelos' marriage. They want to ruin my testimony. The enemy of our soul is coming after us. Have we loved the Lord thy God? Did we put on the gospel? Did we put on our armor? Ephesians 6. We just did a teaching on that. I'm telling you, if you don't read Ephesians 6 at least once a week and refresh yourself and focus on that, you're like the police officer going out and forgets his gun at home. Or the dog catcher that forgets his net. You're not very effectual, are you?
No.
So that's being casual if we don't do those things. Those are the three things that I would recommend somebody do. Love the Lord thy God, preach the gospel every day, and put the armor on. I think you should do it daily. Think about it. Every day, putting the armor on. What is the armor? Do I know it? Do I have it? Am I using it? Am I good at it? If you're not, where do you need strengthening? We'll help you. Be ready to be a soldier for the Lord. What say you, brothers? What else can we do?
You guys summed it up pretty well. I'm trying to think of something else.
I got another one while you guys are thinking. Everybody has something, a weakness or something they're pushing or growing through, something they think they can improve. Every day, look at it and see, what can I do to push myself further here? Somebody might have a problem, like, for example, they're not very bold witnessing. Somebody might have a problem, for example, they might not have enough scripture knowledge. Somebody might have a problem, like, there's probably, everybody might have an area that they're a little weak in, and every day you can look at it and go, Lord, what can I do to push myself a little further to grow here? What can I do here every day to be zealous and to push through this so I can get a little better in it? What scripture and concept can I learn today? What can I do to be more bold for the Lord? Those things. And every day you try and look at what your weakness is and see how you can strengthen that chink in your armor, so to speak, a little bit more and push through it to see how you can grow.
Amen. Amen. That's an awesome one. What else daily? What else daily can you do?
This verse came to mind, Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. A heart of thankfulness removes so many worries and problems, and for me personally.
Yeah, you and I talked about it today. Godliness with
contentment
is what?
Great gain.
Let me tell you something. If you're living a godly life and you're content, you think Satan has as much to come and tempt you with?
If you want nothing he offers, he has no prior pull with you.
He has no pull. He offered our master all the kingdoms of the world to worship me. Does our master want the kingdoms of the world? He already owns it all. But he didn't want those kingdoms. He's going to take them back one day. So that's a great verse. And just there you go. Contentment. Lord, I am thankful where I am. I am thankful who I am in you, though I'm improving and know I need to do better and grow. I know I'm not arrived yet. I'm thankful what you've done in my life. Ready? You can look back if it's thankfulness to say, thank you for bringing me. Sister Amin and I do this all the time. You know, we'll see somebody doing what we used to do, and we don't sit there and go, oh, look at us, we're better than you. We go, oh my. Sister, do you remember when we used to be like that? Wow, has God brought us a long way. We are not better than them. We are different. But for the grace of God there, go us right there. And being thankful and having contentment with godliness, it is great gain. It is a great, great armor, more armor that protects you against the wiles of even your flesh and the enemy. Thankfulness. Thank God every day for what you have. If you moan and groan about what you don't have, you're Israel in the Old Testament. That didn't turn out good for them. You thank God. You thank God every day what you have. Your job, your food, your raiment, your shelter, your brethren, mostly your Savior, the Word, the Spirit. You build yourself up in contentment, you're going to be strong. You are. But if you go, oh, yeah, what if I had this, and oh, what about that, and my past, I like that, you are going to be a weakling, and you're like the sick antelope on the edge of the herd. when the wolves and the bears and the lions come, who do you think's going first?
That one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Kuo, can you think of something else you can do every day?
Pray unceasingly.
There you go. Talk about that. Well, how does that help you?
Always have God in all of your thoughts, and you'll never, well, walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Why don't you give a testimony of what you told us helped you put a lot of things away from you, how you start your day?
Immediately when I wake up, when I have consciousness, even if it's just for like a minute and then I go back to sleep for another hour, I say, thank you, Lord, for a new day, and let your will be done, not my will. Help me to be like a tool for you. Help me not to fulfill my own lusts. And I just get in that mindset of the mind of Christ, just serving the Lord, serving God. That's really helped me a lot. And then also just overcoming when you're out in the world, overcoming that fleshly men-pleasing fear and just hand out the gospel to people, the cashiers, people you bump into and whatnot. It really helps. Just keep walking in what the Lord wants you to do.
Amen. Yeah. I would add to what he's saying, obey God. Obey him.
Yeah.
You want strength? You obey God. You want strength? Put your sin away. You want strength? Kill your flesh. Galatians 5. Crucify the flesh. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and walk in the Spirit. You want strength? You do that. If you operate in the flesh, you're weak. If you're looking around at the world, you're going to be weak. If you're complaining, like we said, you're going to be weak. All these things build us up to make us a strong, fit soldier for the Lord. So yeah, praying, that's a great one. Brother Zelos, can you think of anything else?
I'm thinking we've pretty much covered a lot of them. They're just, it would be small things. Like everybody's different. Everybody's on a different like place on the narrow road to eternal life. Some of us are more novice than others. So a lot of it depends on where are you and what can you do. I guess here's a concept. If you're earnest about the things of God, and let's just take one small thing. Do you think you can memorize one Bible verse a day? I mean, if you really dedicated your mind to it, to memorize just one Bible verse every day, can you imagine if you were just earnest and zealous in that, at the end of even just a year or a couple of years, how much scriptural ammo you would have given the Holy Spirit in your life?
Yeah, study the Word, hide it in your heart.
Just basically being earnest in one little thing, like just one verse every day. By the end of a year, you'd have memorized like almost a book of the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, and
it's not like a huge thing. It's just that everyday earnestness and zeal.
Right. Yeah, and even if you don't like memorize everything word for word, I think that's great if you can do it. I think the concept is to memorize the knowledge and the truth of what God's trying to tell you. So I get what you're saying. And yeah, hide God's word in your heart. So the day they throw you in jail and they say, no, you don't get a Bible. I think if they throw us in jail, we're not going to get steak dinners, cushy beds, and a Bible. I just don't think so for some reason. I don't think they're going to give us that stuff. So we got to hide the word in our heart so we can still be effective tool. We can survive. And then we can be an effective tool to tell other people the gospel if it's hidden in our heart. They have to cut our heart out to stop that, and then we're going home anyway. So that's a great point. Be studying the Word of God. So I just wanted to cover a bunch of practical ideas of what you can do. Brother Zelos, this is your topic. Anything else on it?
Just basically that. It's important. The reason I chose the title, the importance of it, is because if you look at it, the more you kind of look at it, the more concepts and words would jump out of God's word teaching this, that you're to walk and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's being earnest. Like, it shows up in just about every aspect of a zealous, fervent, fiery life for the Lord.
Amen.
And we need to remember that it's very important, and we need to guard against it. we probably all know the guard against being like openly lukewarm, but not being earnest is like, you don't even have to be lukewarm, you just have to be kind of casual. You just have to be kind of like, you lost your first zeal in love, where you just take it down a notch or two to kind of not push as hard as you did.
Yeah. Yeah. My recommendation was wake up with the attitude to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I have a question. Is there anything more important than that? Is there anything that comes even close to that? If it's number one, like the next thing is like 37th. Okay, so if we can't wake up and have zeal and fervor for that, we really got to check our hearts. And then if we have that, then all the rest of the stuff is going to fall into place. And we're going to look after the brother, and we're going to study the word if we're loving God. We're going to witness to our neighbors. We're going to obey God's word. We're going to live in holiness. And that zeal, I asked the brothers today when we were on the phone, I didn't ask them to answer. I just asked them to ponder their hearts. Do we come to the gathering with an excitement to hear what God is talking through the brethren, and also to share with the brethren? Do we have excitement? I can't wait. This is awesome. I get to talk to my brothers, and I get to hear the word of God, and I get to be edified, and I get to edify them. I think if you don't have an excitement for that, I think there's, you've got casualness creeping in, or even lukewarmness maybe. And I think you got to find a way to say, you know what, this is what heaven's going to be like. Saints together, worshiping God, talking about his truth. I got to find a way to have zeal for this. And if you don't have it, ask God for it. He will give it to you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Also, when you go out in your day, are you excited to give out the gospel? Whether you're street preaching or just, hey, I'm going to get gas. Do you look at going to get gas more of an opportunity to give out the gospel than getting gas? Hey, I'm going to buy food. Wow, I'm famished. I can't wait to buy a bunch of food. Are you looking at it for a chance? Hey, maybe that cashier just got a divorce and she wants to go home and kill herself. And you're thinking about going home making a pizza, and God puts you right in her path to give her the gospel, and she reads the card that says, there's two kingdoms, and you warn her about Satan's kingdom, and she thinks, wow, I'm hearing voices in my head. They want me to kill myself. This is probably Satan. Maybe I should read the Bible. Maybe I should seek the kingdom of God. And God puts you right there, and we were more worried about making a pizza and going home. That's the kind of things that I'm talking about to be excited about. That God, there's no greater calling that we can have than serving God, loving each other, and preaching the gospel. Amen, brothers?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anything else on this?
That was all I had.
Awesome topic. Thank you, Brother Zelos.
Amen.